Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Week three here in our Together, Growing Together series. And one of the things about this that God has laid on my heart in marriage, just as with anything in our walk with Christ, we need to be discipled in the Word, led and taught by the power of the Holy Spirit, and submitting unto Jesus in everything. And so this is a little bit of a different study than your usual marriage study. And if you haven't noticed already, what we've been doing has been pretty basic discipleship and how it applies to marriage. Because it's the Word of God, and that's what we need to be taught, to learn what it means to have a godly marriage, a marriage that's surrendered to the Lord. And so last week, we looked at the forgiveness that we received so that we could impart forgiveness to each other and grace. We looked at God's love for you and for me. We looked at the sacrifice that Jesus paid for you and for me so that we can show grace and forgive each other, because we need a lot of that in our marriages. There has to be much grace and much forgiveness because a marriage is just, it's a lifelong promise between two sinners is what it is. So there has to be grace and forgiveness. The first week we looked at more at a foundation on the authority of God's Word, being under the lordship of Jesus and the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which is so important. It is so very important, and especially in our marriages. And the challenges that I gave the last 2 weeks. Week one, we started with reading to our wives, husbands, reading to your wives each night. And I suggested the book of Psalms. It's a great book to read. And read a couple chapters to your wife each night. Take the 10 minutes out, maybe 15 minutes. You might even get into an awesome discussion about the Word that can lead into 30 minutes or whatever. The point is that we read in Scripture that as Jesus washes us in the Word, his body, husbands are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. So we wash our wives with the Word. And so that was the first challenge, and I hope you've been at least attempting to do that each and every night, because it's so important. And then last week we ended, and the challenge was for men to pray over our wives each night. Hold their hands, hold them close to you. And pray and lift them up to the Lord, you know, cover them in prayer. Guys, we have to lead. God, this is the way God designed it in marriage, in the church. We have to be leaders. And it's so important, because if we're not following Jesus right, we certainly can't expect our wives to follow him, because our wives are going to go where we go. It's like in the book of Ruth, you know. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Wherever you go, I'll go. It's a beautiful union that God has brought together. And so tonight we're going to look at what it means to be surrendered together. And we're going to look at surrender. And oftentimes, when you think of the word surrender, you think of the white flag. You think of, I give up. I surrender. But as we're going to look at tonight, the word surrender is actually much more than just that. And it's all through Scripture. And we're going to point out some areas where surrender is at. But before we do that, since through this series we're going to be kind of camping on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 29, if you want to turn there with me, we're just going to go and read through that. We're going to start at 21. And Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 21 to 29. Everybody getting there? And before we even read a word, we need to prepare our hearts. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this evening, God. We thank you for the wonderful gift of marriage. Our companions, our best friend, our lovers. Lord, we are so grateful. We are so thankful for the wonderful, blessed gift of marriage, Lord. May we cherish this time to sit under your word, to be led by your spirit this evening. Teach us, Lord. Instruct us. We desperately need you, Lord. Even if our marriages are just going so great right now, Lord, we need you. And so change our hearts, Lord. Minister to us, Lord, tonight. We sit at your feet. We trust in you, God, and we rely on your spirit this evening. Have your way tonight, Lord. We love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 29 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That is a reverent trust is what that means, fear. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is a savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, that means set apart, and cleanse her with the washing of the water of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. The very first verse we read, 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, we have to remember this. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We were bought through the precious blood of Jesus. And it at times in our lives when we want to take control of things or we want to fix things instead of submitting them to the Lord or giving them over to the Lord, we have to remember that we're not our own anymore. In fact, Galatians 2:20 reminds us that we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. I'm going to say that again. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have been crucified with Christ, gang. And so when we come to areas in our marriages especially, every day is a day to just submit everything to God, to lay it at his feet. Every morning before we even get going throughout the day, take time and just give God the day ahead of us. Because we don't know what's going to happen in the day. We don't know, it can just take one thing to just twist us up and get in the flesh. You know, so it's important that we even start the day recognizing that Jesus, I belong to you. My marriage belongs to you. My wife belongs to you. My husband belongs to you. Our kids belong to you, Lord. Everything I own belongs to you, Lord. You've given it all to us. And so I regularly remind myself of what Galatians 2:20 says, because when we put that perspective on our lives, submitting to one another in the fear of God will come natural, being spirit-led and being obedient to God, because it's his will, not ours. In verse 21, after that beautiful verse, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And then what that is a reminder, what Paul is saying there is, I am not going to cheapen or abuse the grace of God. You know, and there are some who abuse the grace of God. And Grace is something we need every day. And just like anything that we depend on daily, we don't want to abuse it. You know, we need to be good stewards of the grace of God, which we're going to talk about later. But don't abuse the grace of God. We can't just set it aside, because through the law, that's not where righteousness came from. It says if it did, if righteousness came through the law and our salvation, then Christ died in vain. But that's just not the case. So do not abuse or cheapen the grace of God. In our marriages, this especially holds true, because we desperately need the grace of God to maintain not only our walks individual, but because the two have become one flesh, to maintain our marriage, we desperately need the grace of God. And it is in surrender that we find grace. And that's what the topic is for tonight, surrender. Let me start out. Surrender in the Hebrew, the word is magan, M-A-W-G-A-N. And it really, what it means is to deliver, to present, to shield or protect whilst handing over safely. That's what surrender means. That's the Hebrew word for surrender. In Genesis 2:22, we actually find this particular word. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, I can read it. You can turn there either way. But I want to point this out. This is so important. Where's Genesis at, guys? Good answer. Good answer. Genesis 2:22 says, "Then the rib which the Lord God had taken man from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." That word "brought" right there is the Hebrew word magan, surrender. God, as the word describes, he delivered, he presented, and he safely protected while handing over safely as he brought Eve to Adam. So we see that word there even in Genesis chapter 2. Now on the other side, the Greek word for the surrender, the same definition here, the Greek word is histemi. It's histaymee. It's the same exact definition, and we find it in what we just read in Ephesians chapter 5, actually in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself. The purpose of Christ to present his bride to the Father. That word present is that word histemi. It is surrender. Now, think about this for a moment. As it tells us, God is going to present us one day before the Father, his bride. Make no mistake, men, that one day we will present, if you will, our wives back to the Lord. See, there will be a day when our wives will be presented to the Lord, just as Jesus will present his bride to the Father. Men, we are held accountable. We are going to be held accountable. What did we do with God's daughter? Did we lead? Did we point to Jesus in our walk? Are we living a life that we present and we willingly hand over everything to God? That's surrender. It's not running and retreating and putting up the flag. It's saying, God, I need you. I willingly give this to you. I give this to you. I give you our marriage. So give God your marriage each and every morning. Surrender it to him. Christ surrendered himself to the cross for us. And so in our marriages, there's going to be many opportunities to surrender what you think is right or what you think is wrong. There's many times where you just have to come to the cross, and that's the place where, that's the level ground right there. Let's just come to the cross and come to the Word of God. I've been blessed in my marriage with Tara, and yes, we're young in our marriage. We're working on 6 years. But I'll tell you this, by the grace of God, and because we both come under the authority of the Word of God, the division in our home is very few. The arguments, they usually get settled right here. And prayer. See, prayer reveals things in our heart that can build up and cause division in our marriages. That's why it's so important to pray together. And continue to pray together. Your flesh will say no, but your spirit demands it. Your spirit says, I need to pray with my wife. Surrender is not an ugly word. In fact, it's part of our salvation because it was Jesus who surrendered even to the cross. In God's eyes, and according to God's word, a successful marriage is not based upon what we have accomplished. It's not even based upon what we've learned. But according to God's word, success is based on our humility and our dependence on God. We depend on Him as children. And our dependence on God and our humility is going to be what show a successful marriage, if you will. We need to be dependent on God. Jesus must be Lord over our marriage. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. This means that we are assured that whatever we surrender or willingly give to the Lord, He will take, He will sanctify it, and He will be glorified with it. Pastor Joe just taught on the fishes and the loaves and the teaching of the 5,000. That was such a wonderful example of, you know, this young lad bringing two fish and five loaves and handing it over, surrendering it to Jesus, and watching Jesus multiply and just create massive fruit right on the spot where he was able to feed the 5,000. Just because of the obedience of a child coming to Jesus and saying, here you go, Lord. A lot can be said in that. And a lot can be learned in that. We have assurance all through Scripture that whatever we give to the Lord, whatever we surrender to Him, He will take and He will make something great out of it. Absolutely, 100% of the time. The problem is that oftentimes when we say we surrender everything, we got our fingers crossed behind our back, and there's things in our lives that we don't surrender to God. Things that we hold on to, and God's not going to just rip them from us. If we hold on to certain things in our lives, then He's going to say, go ahead and keep it. Of course, God is also saying, He's crying out to us, I have something so much better for you, such a better way, if you just trust in me. But oftentimes we don't surrender. And there are so many things that we can surrender to God. And a few of the things I've written down here I want to share with you, because in ministries especially, these are the things that come in and cause division in marriages. If I had to put them all into just kind of a top four or a top five, this would be it. So as we go over these scriptures, I encourage you to write these down. I encourage you to really meditate on these, because it's generally coming from one of these areas, and it can lead even to divorce. I've seen it happen, and part of this is to equip you guys so that you can have a fruitful marriage growing together in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But we're going to look at these things that we can surrender to the Lord. First one is worry. Worry can cause a lot of grief. However, God gives us the answer. In Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, our Lord says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God. Talk to God. Prayer. And the result of this says that, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So worry, when worry comes in and we give it to God, we pray. He says we are to pray and be anxious for nothing and to pray with all supplication. Supplication comes from the word supple, which means to be movable, bendable, flexible. So if God's saying, I want you over here, you're able to lean in the direction he wants you to go. So be anxious for nothing. Do not worry. And again, when you bring this to the cross, it's not just a one-time fix. This is a daily walk, and our marriage is a daily gift. And so worries creep in. They'll creep into our marriages. I encourage you, right here, the Word of God tells us, go to the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, here's my worry. Surrender it to him. Next, that we can surrender to him, insecurities. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 38 through 39, it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, our security is found in Jesus. And nothing, there is not a demon, not an angel, nothing in the past, nothing in the future. There is absolutely nothing that can take us out of his hand. Jesus even proclaimed, all that the Father has given me, I will not lose one. So our security is found in Jesus. We have to surrender. So you see, when we, in Christ, when we're surrendered to him, we're reminded out of Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, that we are forever free from condemnation. No more condemnation. In Romans 8, 28, we're assured by God that all things in our lives are going to work together for good. That's a promise from God. In Romans 8, verse 33 and 34, it tells us that we are free from the charges of sin that are brought against us. So when the enemy starts to pull things from the past, or pull things into our mind, or shoot those arrows, remember this, the blood of Jesus, because of his blood, we're free. We are free from the charges that were brought against us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 remind us that we are established, we are anointed, and we are sealed by God for the day of redemption. God will never leave us or forsake us in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. In Philippians 1, 6, we're told that God will never give up on us. That's a good one. That's one I hold on to. Because he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. God is never going to stop and give up on us. He's working in us. That's encouraging. Philippians 3:20 tells us we are citizens of heaven. And Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we can find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. God has given us all that we need. So when insecurity comes creeping in, and for me, and I think for a lot of guys, I can't speak for women, but for guys, a lot of times it's, I'm not doing enough. That's a lie from Satan. I'm not making enough. That's a lie from Satan. I'm not pleasing enough people right now. That's a lie from Satan. Your job, guys, is to please God. Do the things that please him, just as Jesus did the things that please the Father. See, guys, we are representing Jesus in our marriages. I shared that last week. Our marriages are living parables for Christ's love for his church. You stop and think about that. That's quite an honor, and it's quite a responsibility. But that shows us also just how special and how awesome God has created marriage to be such a vessel is to display his son's love for the church. He uses marriage. Hebrews 4:16, I want to repeat that again, that we as believers can find grace, which we need, and mercy, which we desperately need, to help in time of need. And it's all wrapped up in prayer, too, in our prayer time with the Lord. Make our prayer time real with him. Another thing we can surrender to God, and these are all things that I've seen come in and devastate marriages. These are things I went over with Pastor Joe. He's got 30-plus years of ministry. And these are the top things that come in and cause division in marriages. Next is fears. Fearful. Psalm 34, verse 4 and 6 tells us that I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. We're no longer ashamed, guys. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. Amen. And he saved him out of all his troubles. He cried out to him. He prayed. He sought the Lord. 2 Timothy verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 7, tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when fear creeps in, where do you think that comes from? It's not from God. The enemy loves to use fear. He wrote the book on fear tactics. Another thing that causes division in marriages, provisions, trying to provide. First and foremost, God is our provider. Again, if we're seeking after the Lord, he's going to honor that, and he's going to provide what you need. Philippians 4:19 tells us that our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And God loves to give abundantly so that we can give abundantly. So when we seek after God, when we're seeking after the things of God, that's why Bible studies, prayer, those things, when you have a chance to get to them and be a part of them, it's so important. It's so very important. Because when you seek after the Lord, the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I know that my wife and I have seen that in our marriage. We have seen so many blessings flow in our marriage just because we're seeking after God. We both recognize ourselves. We're a couple of sinners saved by grace. And God has been so very good to us, and we don't forget that. We have to remember that. Remember how good God has been to us. And of course, the big one, finances. Surrendering our finances to him. And being a good steward is very important regarding finances in marriage especially. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, we're told to honor the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of all our increase. The reason is, in verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing with new wine. Tithing is so important. My wife and I will testify to you today. The only reason we're able to make rent, make payments, and put food on the table is because we tithe. And Pastor Joe, he'll never go to a giving message because that's not him. But in this setting with you as couples in marriage, let me just tell you this. Tithing is very important in your finances. How many times, and my wife will testify, she's right there, we have gotten through a month, somehow paid all the bills. I've even went back on my bank account and tried to figure it out on, you know, paper, as it were, and look, and there's a spot missing where some bills should be in my account. There's just no record of it showing on the computer. Now, that's the moment where God speaks to me through his Holy Spirit and says, quit trying to find it, you won't. It's because we tithe. Amen. Tithe means a tenth. Your monies that you receive, the first thing you do is set that tenth aside for the Lord. And when you give to the church, whatever church you're at, wherever you're at, but when you give to the church, you're not giving to the church, you're giving to God. And what's so cool about that is Proverbs 3, and we have seen this in our own marriage, even before we were married, but we've seen this over and over. He says that your barns will be filled with plenty. In other words, he will not only just bring an increase that'll be tenfold in your life, but he's going to give it back to you so that you can give more and so that he can give you more. And it's like this reciprocating. I used to say this when I was at NCIC and I learned about tithing. I used to say, you know, it's impossible to outgive God, but it sure is fun to try because you really see God's hand in your life. So I encourage you guys, it's between you and God with tithing, but tithing is so important. Some people, when they got saved, they just knew I had to tithe. I had to learn. I was saved, and it was almost 2 years after, a year and a half after I got saved, when I was taught about tithing. I used to be the guy that would just throw a 10 in or throw a 20 in and not really see the power of God in my finances, struggling week to week and everything. But once I was taught through the Word of God how important tithing is, I went and tested it because God says, you can test me on this. Actually, Malachi 3:10, which you can read in your own time, but read Malachi 3:10. God says, you can test me on this. Give me your first fruits and watch me multiply it. So I did, and he did, and that was settled. I was like, God, I'm all in. And it's been such an important part because finances come in, I'd say at least 60% of the time, it's finances. And, it comes down to, are you giving to God what belongs to him, or are you holding back? Remember the word surrender. Remember that word tonight. It's giving over to God willingly. It's just safely handing it over to God. Just like the little boy handed the fishes and the loaves to Jesus. Here you go, Lord, this is yours. You're not giving to the church, you're giving to the Lord. And when you do that, he is going to increase. And it's so awesome to watch his hand work when we do that. Warren Wiersbe, I'm sticking on this just for another minute, but this is the right setting to share this with you guys. It's not a give message, okay? We're not taking up a wave offering or anything crazy like that. I just want to see you guys thrive in your marriages, and finances are one of the things that come in, and the enemy will throw in there, and then we go, I can't afford to do it, and we hold it back. And God's saying, just give it to me, I'll multiply it, because he's God. Warren Wiersbe was quoted in his book on being a servant. He said, I believe that unfaithful stewardship on the part of God's people is one sin that is holding back revival in the church today. It's very important. It's very important. I encourage you guys. On that same note, Warren Wiersbe also said this. He said, money is a very satisfying substitute for God, if you think about it. After all, money is more tangible and less faith is required to trust it. So it's important. When we hold back from God, we're missing out on his hand working in our lives. So give it all to God. There was a married couple in the book of Acts, chapter 5, if you remember Ananias and Sapphira, if you remember what happened with them. Remember, they sold their land and they brought this portion back to God and they brought it to him, and Peter says, how much did you get for that land? Oh, this is all we got. He says, really? Okay. Bam! Down goes Ananias. Because he lied. They both purposed in their heart to lie to God. And here's the crazy thing. Peter also said, this was your land to begin with. You didn't even have to come up and scheme. Right? He said, you didn't even have to come up with this story to lie. You could have just been honest and just been real with God. But instead they devised this lie. I don't know if it was because they wanted to look holier in front of the rest of the church. Like, we sold our land and we're giving it. But they lied about what they got for it. And then his wife came in after Ananias dropped dead. His wife comes in, and Peter asks her the same question. And so, what was the amount you got for that land? And she says the same thing. Down goes Sapphira, right? Now, this was the early church. This was a church that was filled with and led by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it even says that they lied to the Holy Spirit. So when it comes to finances, you give to God what belongs to Him. He gave it to you. Everything we have is from God. We just have to come to that realization that it's all God's. It's not mine. It's His. When it comes to stewardship, we're getting off the finance thing. But I love you guys. I want you guys to succeed financially too. God wants you to be fruitful financially so that you can help give to others. It's very important. Very, very important. But we are called to be good stewards of many things in our marriages. Our finances, as we just went over. We're called to be good stewards of all of our possessions in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, we are called to be good stewards of God's grace. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, we are required, we are called to be good stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ, His word. Be good stewards of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7, we're called to be stewards, good stewards of the gifts of the Spirit that are given us. To be good stewards over the gifts that God has given us. And, of course, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 to 24, we see that we are called to be good stewards over our marriage. Stewardship is important with God. Being good stewards. In fact, if you want, let's go and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to read from verse 16 to 24. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now he goes on. Here's where it speaks to us as husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. We see a call to the children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, he calls us, and that's what we are. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So we're called to be good stewards over our marriage. And I really believe that by us getting together like this, this is exactly what we are seeking to do. We're seeking to grow together in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned earlier, this may not be your typical marriage study, but that's good. The Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart months ago as we were preparing this that He wanted to speak to us. And it wasn't going to be through a book that was written by man. It was going to be through His Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not that I'm against books, but nothing compares to the Word of God. And this is the priority. This is the only book that's living and active This is the only book that can change us. It even has the power unto salvation in here. It's heavy. So it's important, guys, that we pick this up each night and read this to our wives. It's important that we pray together. You know, many of the scriptures shared tonight in our surrendering have to do with prayer. All those things, those words we went over, the provisions and the finances, insecurities and fears, all those things, worry, they're all tied into prayer. And see, God gives us his word for assurance so that we can go to his word and read the scriptures, and we can pray, be obedient to what the scripture says, and be relieved of those things. We don't have to chase. The only thing we have to chase after is Jesus, right? That's the number one goal. That we're chasing after Jesus. We want to please him. We want to draw close to him. We want God to conform us more and more into his image. We love him. We love Jesus. He loved us first. He suffered and died for us. And we have this awesome opportunity to reflect Jesus in our marriage. But if we're holding back on things, if there's things that we're not surrendering, it's going to be really tough to grow together. You know, and there's a beautiful hymn that says, I surrender all. You know, and I'm sure you guys know it. But all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I give everything. And worldly pleasures all forsaken. He says, take me, Jesus, take me now. You know, forsake those things. That doesn't mean just walk and leave your job and say, God's going to provide somehow. No, you got to be a good steward of what God's given you. But don't let anything draw away your fellowship with God when it comes to your marriage. Church, times of prayer, those are priorities. And if you go after those things, if you go after getting to church, you know what? God will bless your drawing close to him. He will bless that. And he has ways of working schedules out. God does. He has infinite ways he can work it out if you would just seek first the kingdom of God. And it's so important in our marriages that we seek after God. We seek after Jesus. He's the only one that can maintain us. And also this is so important, these three things. A surrendered marriage leads to a sanctified marriage. And one day that will lead to the glorified marriage. It'll be the wedding supper of the Lamb when God will call his bride in. And what a glorious day that's going to be. But until then, God's given us a little piece of heaven. He has. With your husband, with your wife, in this beautiful gift called marriage. And God desires us to have godly marriages. He desires to make marriages that are even heavenly. Because he's given us this glimpse, if you will, of what it's going to be like. And nobody, if you've never been married, you really never will fully grasp how special it is when the two become one, just as Jesus will become with his bride. You really just don't quite know that love until you're married. And I love my wife. I know you husbands, you love your wives. Wives, you love your husbands. But just remember this, God's given you such an amazing gift. And if there's things that you're holding on to and you're not surrendering, he's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to bring your fishes and loaves to him. Whatever it is, it could be hurt, it could be various things. I don't know, you know, and God knows. But it's so important that we live a marriage that's surrendered to God. And we surrender all these things to him. And frees us up. It frees us up so that we have the freedom to just walk with the Lord, with our wives, walking together, following Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word tonight. We're so thankful for this beautiful word, surrender. That God, we can give you these things. We can, as you tell us, Lord, that we can protectively give them over to you, deliver them to you, God, willingly, Lord. Maybe there's things in our lives tonight, God, that you've ministered to. You're speaking to our hearts. You're asking us to surrender. It's not the white flag. It's God, you gave yourself. You gave all you had to give. You lovingly and willingly went to the cross for our sins. So help us, Lord, to recognize that everything we have, every good and perfect gift comes from above. The Father of lights, you're called. So help us to recognize that, Lord, we don't own anything here. We're just stewards. We're property managers, Lord. Our wives are on loan to us, our kids. Everything is from you, God. So help us, Lord, to steward and steward it well, especially our marriage, Lord. Let us be good stewards. Help us to love our wives as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her. And for the wives, Lord, help the wives to cleave, to cling to their husbands. And honor them, Lord, as they seek after you. And may you grow us together in our marriages. Grow us up, Lord. Continually learning, Lord. We're here. And we're willing, God. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for marriage. We thank you for the beautiful gift of marriage. Help us to walk together, surrendered. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, just a couple of things I wanted to share. So closing a little bit early tonight.